Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Before I begin my message, I want to share one more announcement with you, and that is we are going to have a book discussion group this fall, and it is this book, which we will have here in the church office for those who'd like to participate. It was written by Bishop Stephen Cherry. He's a bishop in the Anglican Church, and the title is called Thy Will Be Done, and you can probably guess what it's all about. It's the Lord's Prayer. And this will be a good time for us to study the Lord's Prayer and to think about what it means in worship and what it means to us. So if you're interested, send me an email, stop me after worship, and we'll have a sign-up time, too, for you to participate. But it's a good thing for us to think about today as we start our new church school year. It's a good thing that the Bible is not written with modern idioms or jargon. I say that because I can almost hear Jesus saying, would you guys get with the program? Would you listen to me? Would you pay attention? And he doesn't do that in scripture, but we can feel that vibe coming off his words and his interactions with the disciples. At this point in Mark, we're shifting towards the journey to Jerusalem, and Jesus has wanted to get across the nature of who he is and what his fate was and what it meant to the disciples. And you recall last week, Peter was not having any of that, because what Jesus was talking about was not on Peter's agenda. And apparently the disciples still aren't getting it. They've blocked their ears. They've closed off their hearts and their minds to any message that Jesus might be wanting to share with them. Now, perhaps you can identify with this dynamic. Perhaps at some point in your life, somebody has shared some bad news with you that you didn't want to hear. You were told that someone was in a car accident and they were injured. You heard that a loved one died or something really unpleasant was happening at work. Don't want to hear it. And if you don't hear it, at some level you think it's not happening. Jesus, of course, knows better than that. And he wants the disciples to recognize reality, to face up to the hard truths of what is going to happen to him. Hard truths, which in this case are necessary for God's will to be fulfilled and for Jesus to carry out on his promise of being a savior and a deliverer for Israel. But while he's been focused on communicating this critical message, the disciples had been engaged in another conversation. And they've been arguing over who is the greatest of them all. Really? This is what concerns them? Out of a band of 12 people who follow an itinerant preacher around, they're arguing about who is the greatest of them all? Well, yeah. And again, we can empathize with this too, because there are times in our lives when we seek to put ourselves forward, to think about our importance. Where do we rank in the club or in the church? And the status and the title and the supposed importance matter to us at a deep level. Jesus is not having any of it. And the disciples, to their credit, are a bit ashamed of having had this argument and being overheard by Jesus. You can't hide this stuff from him, though. And he has a lesson for them, one that carries on throughout the ages right down to the present day, to everybody here, to everyone in the world. And it's this message of servant leadership, that whoever would be first needs to be last, and that you need to be prepared to be a servant of all. Now, if we look at politics in the United States, and indeed around the world in recent years, that message hasn't quite caught on. And there's a desire to have all the pomp and the circumstance, as if that's going to make somebody a better leader. I remember back during Jimmy Carter's presidency that Mr. Carter decided that he was going to carry his own umbrella. And that raised a bit of a stink, because there are people who said, he's the president, he shouldn't carry his own umbrella. And Carter was a guy from Plains, Georgia. And whether you liked him or you didn't, you knew where he stood. And carrying his own umbrella was something Carter had always done, and he didn't see why he should stop carrying it as president. But there are people who thought, well, somehow it diminished the grandeur of the presidency. It reduced its authority. And Carter didn't think that way. He thought that his policies and his actions were what mattered. And he established a precedent, which no one has really wanted to overturn, of the president carrying his, and someday her, own umbrella. And the president still has a lot of authority, has a lot of power, and matters in our society. But that little example of servant leadership was the kind of thing Jesus was talking about. Actions and gestures matter. And from those, policies and programs will grow. One problem in the church today is that church leaders can get too caught up on themselves and their importance to the organization. And that's something we all need to be mindful of. Yes, we get to wear a spiffy costume on Sunday mornings, but we wear these, at least in our tradition, because we're trying to cover up our dress and our clothing and show that we're set aside as servants of God. I appreciate the fact that you're all here today, and whether you're wearing a tie or an open-collared shirt, slacks, or a dress, it is your presence that matters. We're not here for a fashion show. Now, if you came here in t-shirts, I might roll my eyes a little bit. But if you were here to worship, that's what matters. And I apologize for the remark about the t-shirts, because I just noticed one congregant is wearing one, and there's nothing remarkable about it. But Jesus is calling us to do his work, not to do what we think is his work. Jesus is calling us to follow the charge that's been laid out in Scripture, and not to implement our own agendas. Jesus is calling us to reach out to the outcast, to the immigrants, to the unlovely. And one of the things I'm proudest of our church is that we have this banner hanging over our front door, which says that immigrants and refugees are welcome. And I can't tell you how many people have commented to me on how happy they are to see that on a building that faces the green in this church. That was a vote of all of you that made that happen. Jesus finishes his teaching lesson with the disciples by inviting them to let a little child into his midst. And I know that kids sometimes don't feel listened to, that they feel they're not treated seriously by adults. But in our society, we at least pay lip service to the notion that kids are important. Back in Jesus's day, kids didn't count. They had no standing in society. Their father's word was the law. And no one wanted to be identified as a child. And yet here, Jesus is saying, welcome the child into our midst. Pay attention to him. And that child represents all of the people who are on the outside of the inner circle. And you may have felt that way at some point in your life. And you should speak up. You should agitate. You should claim your place at the table. But as you do that, try not to be like the disciples, then thinking about how you can be the greatest of all. Instead, you too can be a worker for Jesus, a disciple of Christ, and a faithful of the Lord. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for this beautiful late summer day. We thank you for the chance to worship together, to witness to your power and your grace and your glory and your gifts of abundant love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.